watching the 90-yard drive yesterday, as I'm sure you have more than once, and it just struck me that it seemed pretty easy for them. They didn't have the two third downs the whole time. They just moved it right down the field. What most disappointed you about that, I guess, and why was it? Why weren't you ever able to get them bottled up in any way?
Two runs, if you ask me specifically about the plays on that drive, I think the two runs hurt us. You know, we had two for about 8 to 12 yards, and they hadn't had those earlier, and that was kind of a key point to us getting them to third down. Now, we weren't as good as we need to be and have been on third down. That was, if I had one thing that I really wish I could have done better at, and it was the third down and how we get ourselves off the field on third down. But specifically on that last drive, I think a couple penalties hurt us and a couple of the runs hurt us. Less to answer that.
Did you put the right personnel in on those two long runs?
Oh, yeah, I did. Absolutely. The same personnel we were stopping them with early on.
You know, we just get tired?
No, I don't think it was tired. It was technique. You know, one, you know, we got out of a gap on one of the long runs, and the other one, I wish I had a better call in, because that particular structure versus the call I had up isn't our best call. It'd be better calls, but I can do that for a lot of times. You make your call, and then the structure that they give you is what you have to play. So that run play, I wish I would have had a better call on, but that's what happened.
The 10-yard run was, the cutback run was the one where the guy was in the wrong gap?
Yeah. We just got out of our gap, which we hadn't done much of all night. I mean, that's one of the things that our D-line and linebackers have been great at, aligning and holding on to their position, and that's why we've been so strong in the run game.
Well, you run some stunts in order to try to get some pressure or show a different look. Do you run the risk of not having as good a lane discipline or gap discipline that you might have? You might get a little out of whack because you're stunting as opposed to. And is that just a price you have to pay, a risk you have to take in that situation?
Yeah, it is. You the stunts, there are some run stunts, but you have to hit the right run when you run the run stunts. There's pass rush stunts, and when you do the pass rush stunts, there are more holes available. What you teach the linebackers when you don't stunt is there's visual gaps that you have. When you stunt, you have to kind of go to a daylight gap type thing where the hole that the running back sees is what you see, and you have to fill it depending on the stunt.
Did you play a little softer on that last drive?
No, we didn't. You know, we'd been playing those. They are a quick get the ball out of the hands operation, and they had a lot of short, quick passes. They didn't have a lot of the vertical passes. You know, a couple of them that they did throw, I thought we had a shot at intercepting. But it was what we were expecting. It was quick, methodical, move the chains, West Coast offense style, a lot like we're about to face this week too. But we didn't play any softer of coverage. We mixed mans and zones and split the safeties to give as much help to the passing game as we could. Again, there was a couple runs that I think hurt us, a couple penalties that hurt us.
Can't the breakdowns, though, I mean, can't part of that be explained as fatigue? I mean, you guys were on the field for like 79 plays.
I honestly don't see it that way. And talking with the players, we are in great shape. There's nobody talking about being gassed. It's not an excuse that we're going to rely on, even though the question isn't about an excuse. I really believe, guys, that we are in great shape. And I've said this before, and I just got done saying it to the guys. I hope the next 12 games come down to that same scenario, because we'll win the next 12. This group of guys will make those plays. I said it after the game. We didn't make it this time, and it's not taking any away from Washington. They made the plays. They earned the win. They got it. But going forward, we will make those plays, and I don't think anybody was gassed. Now, the hard part of the game, if you ask, is three first quarter injuries are hard to absorb, because you don't get those bodies back. And a lot of times injuries happen in different parts, but we had each position group lose a player in the first quarter. So that in and of itself will put some strain on the reps, and we're big at rolling.
How do you think Rowe did jumping in for Max there, and specifically on the pass interference call, what could he have done differently?
I don't know. That was a hard one for me to watch, because I thought he played that pretty clean. It's a judgment call. He made it, so the penalty is a penalty, but I thought Eric had a pretty clean down going there. There's a little bit of arm-to-arm contact, but that happens at almost every time when both are looking for the ball. You know, Eric gave up a couple hits routes because he was a little bit soft, but if that's their biggest problem, it's a good problem to have, and we'll get corrected. The ball's not going over his head. It's not going behind him, and that's a good sign.
So three defensive linemen, what's their status?
You know, the D linemen, Sed and Taylor are coming along fine. I think they're going to be okay. I think everything's day-to-day, but I think they're going in the right direction. I don't know much on Brandon other than I don't really expect him. I don't know the details of it, but it'll be hard for him to play this week.
Maxwell?
I think Max is okay. I really do. He's day to day, but I think he's fine.
Kenny Logan played a lot of snaps, I guess, because you were shorthanded, and I think they had him with 9 tackles. I mean, that looks like a pretty good game looking at just
Benny Logan is playing at a very high rate right now. The D line in general is. I thought Bo Allen stepped up, had a nice game. Fletcher played his usual solid game, and Benny jumping out to that end. And we practice him that. I mean, he gets some reps out there. But Benny is unselfish, and he's tenacious in there. He's really making a lot of plays. Benny is taking a huge step this year, and he's playing real good football for us.
He's about to have Kendricks this week,
though? I don't know. He's a day-to-day guy. Yeah, it's day-to-day. You know, Michael went out in the first quarter. And, I don't think it was super severe, but I think he's day-to-day.
What do you worry about most when you prepare for a future Hall of Fame quarterback like Breeze?
You know, I think the common theme of all the top 5 to 10 quarterbacks, however you want to rate them, is they have the playbook at the line of scrimmage. And I think those are the hardest to defend. You show a blitz, they run a screen. You don't show a blitz, look, you open the box up to where you split the safeties, they make their best run play. They're constantly moving off what your look is. If you're not ready, he snaps a ball set hike. If you are ready in line, he reads what you're in and changes his play. So I think facing the Drew Breeses of the world with the operation where it really is like having a coordinator at quarterback and they can adjust from what you show, that is the biggest challenge. That he's a very accurate, highly competitive. That, I mean, he knows this offense as well as Sean does, and they work well together. So it's a challenge.
The draw play that they hit you with in the first quarter.
Is
similar to what happened against Atlanta?
Different. I was expecting a screen or a draw there because they were in the whole same scenario. So I wasn't going to go 4-man rush again. It's all about numbers. When you have 3rd and 20 yards to defend, you want to have your numbers back, not behind the draw or behind the screen. So we rushed 3. We had everybody out. You know, depth should be at the sticks. We should have tackled it with 7 yards short of the end zone. We had 3 guys converging on it. We just missed. Could I change the call? I don't think I would change the concept of a 3-man rush there. You have to defend the vertical passing game, screens and draws down there. So it's hard to have one call do it all. So what you try to do is make your numbers right. So at least you have the numbers to go ahead and tackle it. If we ran that play 10 times, 20 times out here, we'd stop at 19 out of 20, 9 out of 10.
Maybe it was the way they designed it, but it looked like your linebackers were all off to the sidelines in coverages, and the middle was kind of wide open there.
It is built where the linebackers do buzz out to the sideline. They have the out by number one, and the safeties drop in to kind of a linebacker play. So very observant of you, Les. If I had to do it over again, I would have left the linebackers in and buzzed the safeties out, which could have stopped the draw. But then you talk about, well, what if they ran the screen away from trips? What if they dropped back and ran 4 verticals? Where do you want the guys? And it's designed to stop, really, the vertical passing game and having the safeties where I had them. But at the end of the day, you'd like to stop a 20-yard run on 3rd down, and we didn't.
How are you going to get better rushing on the passer? How are you going to get more penetration? Because it's just not there right now.
You know, there's more pressure than there are sacks. There are. And, again, when you face teams like we just did where the ball is out lightning quick, you always say, well, the rush isn't getting there. So how long is he holding it? On the ones that he's holding it long, if we're not pressuring, then we are in trouble. We had him in our hands probably 3 times that we did not sack him, and that's frustrating. To get the guys there, and the guys are getting themselves, we're running stunts better than we've ever run stunts. And we get to the quarterback, we just got to get him down now. And there was 2 or 3 that we missed one in the end zone. On the holding call, the penalty, we had Fletcher Cox had him right in the backfield, and he escaped us. So I don't think it's a pressure problem. The sack numbers aren't where you'd like them, but we got to get the pressure on the quarterback and get them down and affect the throws, and that has to increase. But we actually aren't horrible right there. The sack numbers aren't.
Did you see the play last night, K.J. Wright, in the Seattle game? Knock it.
It was too late for me. No, I didn't see it.
How do you do that? How do you get guys to finish when they're close, when they're getting penetration and they're not finishing?
Well, they are finishing. It's the tackling of the quarterback. I've said this many times. I think the hardest tackle in football is of the quarterback because he can go backwards, sideways, forward. He can throw the ball away. He can give up 20 yards and run around and still throw it out. So as you're attacking him, then there's only so many places you can hit him. So now you can't tackle them low, you can't tackle them high. So there's a smaller target of what you're allowed to tackle, and he's got more options. So it's not an excuse, but we have to get better at getting them down when we do get to them.
In that last Saints game, the 2013 playoffs, we spent so much time asking you about Jimmy Grant. Yeah. Obviously, he's not there anymore. Yeah. How's the offense function now differently without the tight end as the focal point?
Yeah, the tight end is not their focal point, but their running backs have taken that role up, and they've got a lot of different ways to get. They've got really a three-headed monster at running back, and the ball's out quick. They get five out often. The receivers and slash running backs have taken that role. Ben Watson, the tight end, is a good tight end. I was with him in Cleveland. Got a lot of respect for him, but it's gone more to the running back. That's the role that they've taken over.
On the pass rush, when you had Brandon Bear against the Jets, he got his hands on three balls. I mean, that with a three-step drop, isn't that an important part of it? It didn't seem to be like anybody had any that Cousins was looking at a clear field the whole time.
Yeah, one of the things that we've tried to do both weeks, because the quarterbacks were similar, is the rush should be inside. And some of that, you talk about, you see more bull rushes, and everybody's like, oh, everybody's going down the middle. They're not working the edges. And, well, there's a reason. We're trying to make the quarterback throw from a well, if you will, where he has to see over people and try to throw overhands. And at times we did a real good job of that, less than times we did not. But that's when guys start really trying to free rush and hey, I got to go get this sack, and all of a sudden you're a little bit too wide, and then the lanes open up. So it really is you've got to pick your poison if you're going to go all out edge rushing or you're going to go right down the middle. And
with all the adjustments you have to make on the defensive line, because you know the injuries with Brandon Bear and everything, and said being out, how do you think like Bo Allen and Vinny Curry did?
I think they did a real good job. And I think they grew a lot. We had a lot of adjustments to make with those injuries to three different positions in the first quarter. Like the first goal line, we had a goal line package, but all of a sudden we were out of it. So we realized last second we have to make adjustments on the 1 yard line. We don't have the personnel to go because we were short. Now we fixed it afterwards and moved Brandon Graham in. But we didn't have to use it, but there was all kind of adjustments going on from the get go. And the guys that stepped up from Eric Rowe to Bo Allen to Benny moving out the end, they did a great job. And their dime alignments were a little bit different for who we had available. And the guys stepped in, and really there was no major errors. There was good, solid play out of them. We put ourselves in a position to win the game at the end, although we didn't. But the position to win it is what you're looking for.
How did that playoff game against New Orleans influence you as a defensive coordinator in terms of approach moving forward, and where do you see kind of where you've gone from where you were then?
I think when you face a team like New Orleans and a mind like Sean and a quarterback like Drew Brees, you have to have a lot of flexibility to your defense because they do so much and they do it so quick. And that particular game, they had Sproulsy and Graham as tight end, and there was a big matchup issue that you have to talk through and work through, and how do you get the right guys out there. And I don't know if we had it in that year one expanded. We had enough flexibility. We had enough of the packages that we have now. We have grown a lot because we're in year three. It's part of what you can do. You do as much as you can in the first year, and now we're 3 years ahead of that. So hopefully we have enough to handle this offense, which is a very unique and powerful offense.
And what about acquiring Malcolm after that? Was that a big part of the fact that he can go down in the slot? And
absolutely.
How big was it based off of that game as well?
It's based off that whole season, but that game kind of put the nail in where you said this is something that we have to make sure that this has got to be who we are. Because we're a two-gap run front, you can go get those safeties that were corners. You can get the guys that fly around like Walter does, and you're not asking them to play that big boy inside gap. And that's part of the structure of who we became with our D-line in the two-gap world. And doing that well allows you to go get a different kind of safety. You don't have to have the linebacker-ish safety that, like I had at Adrian Wilson back in Arizona. So you can play with the cover guys. And that helped.
Two more guys.
As you get healthier here, is Rowe going to be more of a fixture in sub-packages?
He can be, yeah, as we get healthier. And again, Eric's growing every time. And, we actually repped him a little bit at safety last week. And but then, boom, right away, he had to go back to that corner spot. So corner is really the home that we like him in. But when anybody gets injured, we've got to have the ability of cross-training. And it shows you, like in an NFL game, we lost three guys. You have to be able to adjust quickly, and you need guys that can go out. Like, for instance, right now, emergency corners for us are Walt Thurman and Malcolm Jenkins. if we get in a bind out there, those guys go play corner. So the corner, they can play safety, and it's a tribute to the intelligence of the players, of Corey and Harpin, that they're teaching, and it's just something I think in the NFL you have to have. The longer I coach and the longer I'm around it, you've got to have position flexibility and players that have the brain to do it.
On Washington's last touchdown, what was the what was the coverage you were in, and what would you like to see different out of that on that play?
Oh, that's a game of inches. They caught that thing in inches. It was an all-out blitz to their empty. We checked to a blitz, which we like doing down there. We're either going to max drop or max blitz you. Walt Thurman was in a perfect position. He played inside out. Eric Rowe did a great job of knowing that he had a running back and Pierre was inside, so he came off his quick to kind of trap that coverage. Connor Barwin is unblocked off the edge and taking a perfect angle. So I Kirk Cousin made a great throw with a guy breathing down his neck. The ball had to come out, and I'm telling you, there was that close. It was a perfect throw. If he'd thrown it behind it, Walt has it. If he throws it too far in front, Eric has it. He throws it right on the money, and then Pierre caught it and held on to it after Eric hit him. So that's one of those plays that you have to just say congratulations, Washington, on that play. You did exactly what you had to do, and it's a game of inches. And we talked about it a lot. We've got to get those inches in our favor now.
Okay.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right, let's do it.
It seemed like that, you know, especially after the injuries, the offensive line maybe had some communication issues, guys being left unblocked. How do you get that fixed in 1 week, and do you think you have a handle on that now?
Yeah, when you look at that game in total, I thought the guys that came in actually did a pretty decent job. They were asked to play different positions, and, you know, there were a couple plays early in the game. You know, you saw the one where Kerrigan came through the A-gap. We had a little miscommunication there. But for the most part, they were trying, and they were pretty good about getting on the right guys. We had some physical breakdowns, which happened throughout the game. But for the most part, those guys that went in did pretty decent.
When you go against guys like Kerrigan, who like to stunt inside and stuff, and maybe it was because Lane just, you know, wasn't his normal self with his knee. Would you rather try to jump guys like that, you know?
Well, the one where he came free was a pressure, you know, where they took the defensive ends and moved him into the A-gap. And we were aware of where he was at. We just didn't do a good job of getting to him. So, and then we knew. They weren't a big pressure team, so we went into it knowing that there were going to be line stunts involved. So.
At the time you signed DeMarco, what did you think his workload was going to be this year?
I didn't know. I mean, I don't think any of us knew. You know, we signed him as a good player to come in and play football for us. So, you know, we didn't really project what it was going to be, you know, because we feel like we need multiple good running backs to play for us.
What's taking your offense so long in each game?
Yeah, I think that's been a little bit of a thing, the slow start. I think what happens is, you know, we don't convert on third down. You know, you see in the second half where we've been able to kind of stay on the field and extend drives and score points, we converted on third down. Now, there's multiple reasons for that. It could be a longer third down because you didn't do so well on first or second. Or it could be a manageable third down and you don't execute that play. So it's a combination of things, and we're searching to make sure that, you know, we get that right and kind of do the things we're doing in the second half to start the game.
Josh Huff was only on the field for a handful of plays. Was it the hamstring that was acting up, or just?
No, there was no reason. I think it was just more of the flow of the game. You know, we had guys in there, and we found a way to get some deep balls. You know, and you know, I think the guys that were in there, that just ended up being the rotation of the day. But there was nothing to it.
You're using a lot more 11 personnel this year, and not a lot of two tight end sets. What's kind of driving that decision?
Some of it's the scheme we're facing. You know, we felt there's teams when you play against teams that are 3-4 teams like our own, where there's five guys on the line. When you put Tiger out there or two tight end sets, they stay big on you. And so what we like to do sometimes is play zebra or get to three wides and then get more of a four-man front to, you know, where we feel like we have more options. But some of that is the way it works, and then some of it is the personnel we have available.
What did Washington do, mainly stay in their base?
No, they would only stay. They went to nickel. You know, there's a couple of, you know, random snaps where they'll go to base, but for the most part, they're a match team, and most teams in the league are. I'm sorry?
Are you expecting Jason Peters this week?
You know, I don't know what to expect. You know, they're constantly trying to get themselves out here. I don't ever know sometimes during the day, because we do this press conference in the middle of the day, who's going to be out there. We're hopefully back.
Is Josh Huff making the progress you want to see? I mean, this was considered to be a big leap year for him, and he really hasn't had that step forward yet.
Well, I think he hasn't had the production, maybe. I think he's doing a lot of things better than he did a year ago. He's been dealing with the injury a little bit as well. So, again, we're four games into it, so we'll have to see.
What, I mean, you started out in campus, with the ones, right, and the season with the ones, right, and now not really even part of the
play. Well, I think it was just the way the game played out. You know, he's part of our plans. You know, we had some things in there for him to do. And then as the game gets rolling, sometimes the guys will play a handful of plays more than we think, or a handful of plays less, but there's no real reason for it.
If the passing game looks like that when you're challenged downfield, why don't you go downfield more often?
Well, I think some of it has to do with how the teams are playing us. You know, we had some opportunities, and we knew that going in, of throwing the ball down the field, and we took advantage of it.
But do you ever look at it, just let the receiver make a play?
Yeah, we do. There are times when that's the case, and there are times when we call routes that are deep to short concepts where they take it away deep and then you throw it either intermediate or short. Sir,
what is New Orleans' general philosophy on their safeties?
Well, they're Rob has this reputation for being very cavalier. When you look at him, though, he's gone back to his father's roots. They play a lot of bear defense. They play, they'll play if you got one back, they'll play seven close to the line. If you got two backs or two tight ends, they'll play eight close to the line with a single safety. And then they're one of those teams, they'll challenge the receivers. When they play bump and run, it's true bump and run. Now they get up there and they get their hands on you, and so I think that's philosophically where they're at.
Obviously, you're early in the game plan, but might this be a game where you might think about more two tight ends in order to get those eight guys in the box?
We're going to use both. You know, this could be a game. We'll have to see how it plays out. We go into the game, though, with a balanced offensive philosophy of using both two tight ends and then three wides. So we'll just see how it plays out. We have some opinions about how we want to play it. We'll just wait to reveal that.
Getting back to the running backs, the one game where you got really good production was the game that DeMarco didn't play, and Ryan had, I think, 24, 25 carries. Is there something to be said for a guy getting into a rhythm, getting the bulk of the workload, and getting production that way?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think the runners that we have can get the carries that they get and make good plays out of them. You know, I don't think we have that one runner that, and a lot of times that's what gets talked about when you only have one runner. You just keep getting to it, So I think in total our running game, the more you run the football and the more success you're having with it, the better the runs look, regardless of who the back is.
On Murray's 30-yard run, what did you see as the key blocks to help spring him?
Well, we had inside, we called it an inside zone play, and I thought we did a good job on the front side. They actually overplayed the front side where we had a one defender unblocked, and then he cut it back into some big open air. So it was blocked properly, and then DeMarco did a good job of cutting the ball back into an area where there wasn't a defender.
How are teams defending Ertz? What are they doing primarily?
I think it's just they're just defending our, the concepts, and, there's times when he's one-on-one. You saw he made some good catches the other night. Then there's other times, and typically when it's one-on-one or man-to-man coverage, he'll draw coverage down from a safety or a linebacker type guy.
How's Tobin at left tackle compared to right guard?
Well, I don't know about comparisons, but I thought when he stepped in and played left tackle, he did a good job.
I think he can play both well.
And as a backup role player, you may have to play both. So he can do both well.
Knowing where to go to the ball post-snap?
Post-snap. We like them to know pre-snap, but after the – but I would say this.
When
I think he's more and more comfortable. He's becoming more and more comfortable with not only the concepts, but who's running the concepts. And I think there's been times throughout the season when our passing offense fell victim to the drop. And then there's been times when he was off the mark. And I think you saw, you know, periods within the game last week where we were on the mark and we caught the ball. And so I think that's what we're shooting for. But I think he's getting more and more comfortable with how we run our offense and then the guys he's throwing to.
What do you think Nelson is working through right now as he's early in his rookie season? And was the plan to give him this high amount of snaps going in, or is that just kind of how the rest of the receiving corps sort of is?
No, I think Nelson's in great physical condition. He can run all day long. And he's a tough, competitive guy, and he found a way to make some plays for us the other night. He had a couple of errors, like everybody on offense. But, yeah, the plan was to use him. And he doesn't want to ever come off the field, and he's one of those guys, he tries to gobble up as many reps as possible, and I think that's why when we watch him, he's going to develop quickly and be a good player.
He's basically playing the same snaps that Mac played last year. And Deshaun played the year before. He's basically on the same side. Are you getting enough production out of him versus the amount of snaps?
We want to get more production out of everybody. I think that's and I think if we do some of the things we talked about earlier, staying on the field, extending drives, getting more plays, then it's just you can just do the math. If you have more plays, then the ball can get spread around and everybody will get more touches.
Formation penalty he took. Did you tell him to check with the official on his positioning there?
And
it looked like the whole time he was just looking at Ertz.
No, there was some conversation about the alignment because, as you saw, Ertz was kind of got over there and got lined up. And, you know, I think the key to that play is we just need to make it crystal clear for the official where I'm either on or I'm off. So. We want to, and nothing that we do we want to bring the official's judgment into it. And so whatever you got to do to be crystal clear, I'm on or I'm off. And typically outside receivers do have conversations with the officials.
When
I'm going to leave it at that.
When Lane got hurt, and if he couldn't have gone back in, who would have taken over right tackle to shuffle guys around a little?
Yeah, in terms of, well, Dennis Kelly went in and then, we only had seven then, and we had Josh Andrews. You can do the math on that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When you got seven up, I mean, even, you know, Michigan State. I mean, but I can do the math on that. You know, when you got seven and you get two hurt, it's the next two. You know?
Like, would Andrews been the right tackle or top guard?
No, we can, you know, we've got guys that are multiple. You know, we feel like Dennis Kelly can play tackle, you know, and then we saw Tobin can play tackle, and then you just got to. You got to at that point, you're just piecing it together.
Do you think Sam Bradford has the mind to have the playbook completely in his head, or at least, you know, whatever amount of plays he needs to go on a particular play,
absolutely,
to be able to check into whatever types of play based on a pre-snap read?
Absolutely. Absolutely. He's very smart. He's very, very football smart. And he's like anybody, I think, on our offense right now. You want to make a couple less mistakes and make a couple more plays.
And he had that in St. Louis?
He did.
Part of what you guys do, but when you guys got guys banged up out there, backups out there, is there ever any thought that maybe slowing it down a little bit might help those guys be in a better position to?
Yeah, I think that question's been asked before. You know, we train our guys to play at the pace that we play, and when they go in as backups and become starters or get playing, they're aware of it and they know how to line up. I guess if guys were doing the wrong thing all the time, that would be a concern. You know, but no.
Drops are unexplainable. You got professional guys out there trying to catch balls.
Yeah.
Can you explain this rash of, in any way, drops
that
you've had?
Well, you kind of answered my question, thank goodness. You said they're unexplainable. You know, I know we spend a lot of time, and every skilled player spends a great portion of their day in their training sessions catching the football, and we have the drills for it. It's just a matter of doing it and avoiding the drops. You know, there can't be any anxiety, all the things you talk about. Focus on a small point on the ball, you know, grip it and tuck it and all those things, and so you just keep working on it. And, you know, typically whatever you work on will show up, and we just got to avoid it, because, you know, we can point to that as some of what's going on, and we got to avoid it.
On Nelson's big hedge.
Go ahead. You get a lot of them. We'll go over here. It must be the sport coat.
On Nelson's big catch, what was the coverage that Washington was in, and how was he able to get over the top against it?
On the post throw?
Yeah.
Yeah, we ran a big play action, and the safety got really wrapped up. Jordan was on the other side of the field running an over route, and the safety sort of got wrapped up with that. Jordan did a good job of nodding his post to keep the corner outside, and then Sam made a good throw, threw it nice and tight down the alley, and he certainly made a great catch.
If you think back to game planning against the Saints in 2013, what stood out about Malcolm Jenkins on the film preparing for the Saints?
Well, he's a very smart player. He was kind of the guy that kind of got their defense going, you know, and we did the research on him. Behind the scenes, he was sort of the captain of that crew, but he's got very good instincts. He's an outstanding tackler, and you could just tell by the way he played, he was the guy that got him organized in the back end. And so all the things we're seeing from him now, we saw in that game when they played us.
Okay. Thanks, Chris. Good.